This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, Pailuis Inchpesek. How are you, my Armenian friends out there? Another April 24th has passed us, and the movie, The Promise, Brian, it's still out there.
Yes, it's amazing film.
It's amazing film, and you know, critics and that's, you know, they've been taking pops at it, and I actually ran into, you know, Zach Schaumler. I think that's his name, Zach Schaumler. And
another odor?
Yeah, and I said, man, oh, man, I love this YouTube he did. I mean, the guy's got a lot of conviction about the movie. And I just said, you know what, let's get him on. And Zach, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, anytime. Schaumler, did I say that right?
Yes, you did. That's a great pronunciation. Most people screw that up, actually.
Ah, forget that. We're Armenians. We got all the crazy last names there. And, you know what? It's good to have you on. So you went out there against the grain, I might say, you know, with everyone taking a pop at this movie. You said, I got to check it out. Tell us about that.
I'm really proud of my view on it. I felt this movie wasn't getting a fair shake, and that seemed really weird to me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't know how much. I don't want to go there, but I feel like so many people who have reviewed this movie have looked at the wrong things, and I just think there's missing the point of the movie, and that's kind of been a big deal to me. I live in America, so I took for granted just how I've always known I'm lucky to be in America, but I've never really appreciated just how great this place is, and I think this was a big eye-opening experience for me, and I've met so many people the last couple of days that have been so cool, and just I've had so many conversations with Armenians that I'm a huge friend to Armenia now. I love it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. When going into this movie, what did you expect, and did you think it was going to be this powerful?
No, I went into the movie with my brother. I was like, hey, I saw this movie that no one's talking about, but I think it could be really good. I like the actors. And the story looks good, and I walked away from it and was just blown away. It blew my mind, and I totally loved it.
Do you think?
Here's the kicker. Yeah. I looked it up afterwards, and I was like, wow, no one likes this. This is really bizarre to me, and I was just kind of shocked by what I found in reviews and how poor reviews it had on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and everywhere else.
Well, the thing on that too, Zach, it's kind of interesting on that because they gave those ratings and the movie hadn't even come out. I mean, the movie wasn't even done. The movie, I mean, it was just, again, it had a lot to do with the Turkish propaganda. A lot of their people just chimed in on it, and they trolled it as best they could, and they gave it a bad rating. I think, personally, anything before the movie even comes out, you cannot even rate it. They should have a time barrier on that to where you can rate it and when you can't rate it. And when the movie's not even out yet and you're rating it as a one, there's something fishy right there.
Sure. I've been very careful not to say anything about the Turkish government, kind of to avoid conspiracy theories. But I just think it's so weird some of the things I've found that I'm like, are you serious? Did we watch the same movie? Like, people seem, even professional viewers seem to think, just look at it completely differently than it's like they saw a different movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you look around to see, were there people as feeling the same vibe as you were sitting there watching it as well?
Yeah. Here's my take is I've seen people that, you know, professional viewers didn't seem to like the movie. And then you see people that are fans or not just Armenians, but I know people and my American friends that have loved this movie. And it seems like there's just a disconnect between reviewers and critics and fans of movies. I've never liked critics anyways, but this is like the biggest example of this is almost wrong what's happening. I don't like it.
No, you're definitely right. Matter of fact, one of the my favorite comedy movies of all time was Animal House, and the critics said this cannot make any money at all. And we know whatever happened with that, Brian. I mean, Animal House is like an icon of comedy movies throughout. So it's something that sometimes we need to just look at ourselves and say, you know what, I want to go watch this movie. And so you were very happy with it then.
Yeah, can I defend Armenians for a second? I've had a couple people contact me that are, they completely disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm okay with disagreement. That's great. But here's where they lose me. They call the entire Armenian nation liars, and, like, you can't do that. You just cannot, you can't generalize that much. That's wrong, and I don't like that. And I've seen people that have also told me, well, the promise is propaganda. And then I look at the people who made it, and, you know, Oscar Isaac is Guatemalan American, Christian Bale is English, Charlotte Bond, French Canadian, Terry George, the writer and director, is Irish, and so on. It's not made solely by Armenians. You can't say that it's propaganda. That's just factually wrong.
And on top of that, too, Zach, everything that was made on this movie goes out for the people that right now in this world that are being persecuted some way or another. All the money goes to that. All the funds go to that. So when all these critics pop up and they say, oh, this movie's losing about $90 million, it's a tank or whatever. Now, my point on that is it was never made to make money. This was made This was made for just people know what the hell happened back then. And that's
education. Educational tool.
Yeah, yeah. This is as organic as you can get. And all the proceeds of this go to people throughout the world, not even Armenians. Anyone that's hurting out there, this is what it's for. So I think it's a beautiful cause. And those people that said liars and stuff like that, I really honestly think they are the people that are behind hiding things. They want to hide a chapter in their Turkish life that they do not want out to the public. But it's there. It's there. I mean, even Adolf Hitler used a line that said, who remembers the Armenians? I mean, there's so many there's so many things that led to what can we say, like history repeats itself? Well, you know what? It repeated itself when it went for the Germans to do that to the Jewish people, and it's continuing now with Rwanda. It's continuing everywhere throughout the world. And, you know, I think we need to be aware of this. I think we need to, as a whole, as a group, as a world, I think we need to just embrace one another and stop all this killing.
Can I talk about a movie called The Ottoman Lieutenant? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I did. I have, and so that's, go ahead.
I discovered this movie, and I was like, I was shocked. I was like, are you kidding me? This is real. This people think this is real. This movie acts as if the Armenian genocide never happened.
Right.
And it completely skips over it, which is kind of like making a World War II movie and ignoring the Holocaust and pretending that never happened. And people are comparing these two movies, and I just don't think they're even on the same level. The Promise seems to be a factual and real to like actual, like events that happened, and Ottoman Lieutenant seems to just take its own idea, and it's like an alternate history movie or something, or science fiction. It kind of blows me away that people are comparing these two.
Yeah, you're right about that, because that was all funded by the Turkish government and all that. That was a movie that was supposed to come out around the Promise time. I mean, they had that well calculated, and that was their way of throwing up some sort of a message saying that the genocide never happened. But you know what?
Yeah, it's like I can't find a proof that they funded it, but it's like, come on, we all know. Like, clearly, they just wanted to get their side of the story out, and however they wanted to produce it, they did. And I saw right through it, like, really, like.
Well, the director, I forgot his name, but the director said.
I found this article, actually. Yeah,
and he said, you know what, I had scenes in there that were going to be about the genocide, and they wanted that out. They didn't want any of that. So there was some noble play on this movie, but it never went out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I couldn't find as much proof as I wanted to include that in a video or anything. But I saw a lot of, like, you know, seemed like enough to make speculation about it. If that's fair enough.
Now, Zach, your last name. What is that? What nationality are you?
I have no idea. My dad's for all intents and purposes an orphan. I have no idea what I am.
Oh, really?
As far as I am, I've just been an American my whole life, and I have sweetest relatives on my mom's side.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know what I like about you is you got a lot of passion in you, a lot of conviction. I watched your YouTube, and my cousin actually, John Kevranyan. He brought you up to me, and I said, you know what, John, I'm gonna look into that. So he was you gotta please check him out and put him on your Armenia Proud site and have people see it too. So I said, you know what, let's do that, and let's also put you on a Toast to Armenia, which is my Facebook site, and people will get to see that as well. So we'll have plenty of hits for you on that as well.
Awesome, thank you. Can I say something about another thing about Armenians I just love?
Yeah, please.
I've come to know all these people. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people have reached out to me, and it's just been an amazing 2 days. It's really fun. But here's the coolest part about Armenians that I've found. They are so prideful of who they are, and I wish Americans were like that. I wish Americans took pride in being Americans the way that Armenians love being Armenian. I've never seen that, and it's so cool. And it's like something I wish I was a part of. You know, like you see a basketball team that's so successful. Like, I wish I was part of that. I see the same thing with Armenians who just love being Armenians and are so proud of that.
Well, that is really great to hear, especially when you're not an Armenian and you're seeing that. that makes me feel a lot better. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows, Zach? You may have a little Armenian in you, huh?
Hey, if I was, I would wave that flag proudly.
Oh, there you go, brother. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you being on our show, and you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. Can you tell the folks out there how they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Zach Shomler, S-H-O-M as in Mary, L-E-R on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. I love making videos. I want to be a journalist someday. I'm in school for it right now. That's my passion, is making video content. So if you want to support me, I would really appreciate that and love that.
No, definitely. I'll have your YouTube thing on the promise on our site, and we'll have that thing going. And hopefully all you folks out there put a big click on there and support Zach's work too. Because honestly, the guy's doing us a big favor by telling the American people, hey, don't buy into the critics. Don't buy into this this person that thinks he knows it all, or this Turkish propaganda saying that this movie is not good. This movie is good. By the way, Zach, I got another movie for you. And this was written and directed by a Turkish guy. I forgot his name.
Really?
But it's called The Cut, T-H-E-C-U-T, and it's about the Armenian genocide, and I'm going to say, right behind this movie, The Promise, and you can't go wrong with it. After you see it, you got to let me know what you think about that one.
Okay, I just looked it up. Yeah, the 2014 movie.
Yeah, and it's an outstanding movie, and it really made me cry like this movie, The Promise. But you know, what's really cool about this is it's written and directed and funded by a Turkish group, and this is what's so special about it in my mind.
That's really is unique and really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah. All right, Zach, we'll catch up with you, and if any time you want to get back on the show, talk about anything, maybe The Cut after you check it out, maybe give us a little scoop on that one as well.
Yeah, I would love to. If I can ever help you in any way, please let me know. I am a friend to you and a friend to all Armenians. You're awesome. Thank you for having me on. Again, if I can help you ever again, let me know.
All right, Zach. You take care. Thank you so much.
Have a great one.
All right. You too. Well, I tell you what, that was a great little interview we had with Zach.
I enjoyed it. It's very rare for us to have a non-Armenian on the show, but he was very good, very insightful.
Yeah, and you know what I liked about him? He's a young guy, and he's got so much conviction as a young guy. I mean, this is the type of people that we need one day to be a part of the United States government. Be someone that's not going to sell out and say, you know what, I'm not going to say the word genocide. I don't want to offend people.
Oh, we've got our political ties to Turkey. We're not going to admit that it happened. You know, who's going to be bold?
But then the following day they say, I feel sorry for people in Syria. I can't stand it when I see arms, legs being bombed, and You know, it's hypocritical when you care about one thing and you don't care about another thing. It's guys like him. It's guys like Zach that are waking up and that are just part of it and saying, I'm not buying into it. Yeah. I'm not buying into it. I want to do the right thing. And God bless him.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you, Zach. Zach Schaumler. Zach Schaumler. And all the love out to my cousin, John Kevdranyan. And you guys made this possible. So thank you, John, to introduce me to Zach like that. And, you know, it's good. It's all good. And April 24th has faded away again, but the fire still burns, and I love it. I love it. And, folks, check out our show on ArmeniaProud.com. You've got all these great episodes. We'll put this one on. And you know what? What are we getting? We're getting near 100 episodes now. It's been an outstanding run so far, and we couldn't have done it without you. So keep listening and keep supporting. If you can, maybe go to iTunes and give a big five-star rating for us. That'll make my day, too, of feeling good about what we do. And, you know, a lot of people checked out the congressman there. Jay,
our friend Jay, yeah.
Jay Hoffman there. How cool was that, guys? Jay Hoffman got up on the Congress there in Illinois, and he said, you know what, let's recognize and let's not forget all the Armenians that died. And you know what, he gave me a little shout out too.
Yep, it was a good deal.
I personally wouldn't want a shout out for something that tragic in our life, but you know what, thank you anyway, Jay. He's a great guy and a great friend of the show, so God bless Jay Hoffman and anyone in Illinois. If you're in that district, you got to keep people like this in tune. You got to keep them in the trenches. You got to keep them on our side. So Jay Hoffman out there, and you got to keep guys like Zach, you know, these guys are the ones that are the future of America, and these are the people that are going to do the right thing. That's important. Hey, folks, our next segment, a segment that I really love so much, and that's Danny Bedrosian. Danny, how are you out there?
Good, Jono. Good to talk to you guys again. Happy to be here.
Danny, what did you think with this whole April 24th, the movie The Promise and all that? I want your feedback on it, too.
Sure. Every April 24th, I try to do something, you know, something to celebrate the victims and the survivors, to celebrate what they did for us. You know, I did a huge 3,000-year span genocide concert a couple years ago with my Armenian ensemble here in Florida. I've tried to do different things, raise money for Armenians that are suffering today, do that kind of stuff, charity-related. And at the very least, cook a lot of Armenian food. So I did all those things, but I also went and saw The Promise yesterday with my wife. And I would probably be lying if I said any other American film spoke to me anywhere near as close as that spoke to me. I felt like they did a truly Armenian film. I feel like it was... you know, and maybe people will disagree with me. I'm not 100% sure, but I felt like Charlotte LeBon had me convinced she was Armenian.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Isaac even had me convinced. The feeling, the emotion, the way they portrayed their characters. I thought all the actors were incredible. It was really a who's who, some of the best actors in America, the Middle East, and Europe, really. I mean, so I don't think they could have done it any better. We've seen... You know, the French did a movie about the genocide, the Italians did, the Canadians did, even a Turkish filmmaker did with the movie The Cut.
Which it was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, which I personally thought was, up until this point, the best one of all of them.
I know.
Which is very ironic, but sometimes it takes a closeness to the situation to understand it completely. And I thought this maybe, though, that really beats it, really takes the cake, The Promise. I think Terry George outdid himself. I think the cast outdid themselves. I think it was a fantastic endeavor. I was in and out of tears the whole time. Its correlation to my family's history,
right,
very close, considering that, of course, my family is also Western Armenian. I also descend from genocide survivors. About 45 members of my family were killed in the genocide, and
wow.
they escaped to Massachusetts eventually. And the story, you know, not to give too much away, spoiler alert or whatever,
right.
But the story ending in Massachusetts and so on and so forth, it really spoke to me in a resonant, very resonant way, and it was... I thought it was absolutely incredible, and I was ready to be as critical about it as any Armenian would be about anything, because we're stereotypically critical about art. There's very little I can say that they concentrated on real important historical characters: Ambassador Morgenthau, Talat Pasha, the stand at Musa Dagh, the Gomidas being among the ones arrested. You know, all the really important, the Gomidas concert. I cannot say enough. It took me about I saw it about 24 hours ago, and it's taken me about 24 hours though to even be able to speak on it, to be honest with you. And I'm a Harpertsi. Harpertsis have never been at a loss for words when it comes to speaking about the genocide. We were from the Slaughterhouse province, so
right.
it was considered something you didn't just talk about, you screamed about it. But I found myself at a rare loss for words upon seeing that. It took me about 24 hours to be able to speak on it, and I've recently spoken to both friends and family, bandmates, and others that went to see it around the same time I did, and everybody has the same thing to say, you know, about it. It's just
Did you look around the theater to see how the people were reacting to it?
The theater was all Odars except for me.
That's good. I like that.
I do too. People were walking out, needed to be walked out crying, you know, people in
okay.
tears. And, you know, you could look at them and tell that they weren't any type of Armenian. But they were equally moved by it, which I love. But, I mean, God, there were moments where I just wanted to, like, throw rocks at the screen. Not in disgust of the movie, but just in anger, vengeful anger. It reminded me, you know, what's interesting is I've spent the better part of my 20s and 30s learning in my 20s, how do you live with a certain type of hate? And then 30s, conquering the hate, just because of my own personal experiences
right.
with a few good Turkish people, young Turkish people of today, example of a man and a woman, respectively, who had both come to me and basically said the same thing. And it really eased a lot of my inner turmoil. But that being said, this movie, of course, stirred up all those things again in only the way that maybe your family could, you know, in a way that only... And that's why I say, again, it was very Armenian. I was worried about the portrayal. I was worried that they would under-portray, because there was all this talk with the cast interviews about they don't show that much, da-da-da-da. No, but they show enough to tell you exactly how and what happened. Thank God.
The only thing that I am a critic about The Promise, which
yeah.
it's probably not that much, but
right.
I had the Odar world just... my friends telling me or asking me, what brought that on? What mm-hmm. made Turkey do that? And not one time did the movie get into why.
Yeah, that's true.
And I would have liked to hear their twisted aspect on why they did that, and have some sort of a even Talat had something written down. I like to keep two and put those two in a cage or something like that. And I would have liked for a. Like in a type of meeting to where it's closed doors, and they could have made it up any which way, but just get some sort of perspective on why it all went down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why could take up about three or four movies, because there have been extensive books written on the subject by Armenians, Turks, Arabs, and Europeans, and Americans at this point, about the why. And the why is a lot more difficult to overall comprehend, but they're very, very consequential and easy to understand ideologies when you look at them all singularly. The fact that they all go together just make it the perfect crime in a way. you have, first and foremost, the acquisition of property. Who is the number one property holder in the Armenian community prior to the genocide? Who holds more property than anybody else, you think?
I would have said the Armenians, yeah. The Armenian church. Okay.
Yeah, out of the Armenian community, the church holds more property than any other. If the Armenian church lands alone were given back to the Armenian Apostolic Church in eastern Turkey, they say something like 30% of eastern Turkey would no longer be in the Turks' hands. That's how much property the church had.
Wow.
So acquisition of property, acquisition of movable goods, non-movable goods, acquisition of slaves, acquisition of women and children, acquisition of land, arable land, which a lot of the Turks ended up not even doing anything with. That's the other thing. The majority of the agrarian population was Armenian. About half the shepherds were Armenian, half the shepherds were Kurds, and about 90% of the farmers were Armenian. Also, all the copper miners, because all those copper mines in the Voski Dasht and places around there were very important in those days. They're virtually unused ever since then. But you have, yes, huge acquisition of wealth, huge acquisition of land. There is economic jealousy, racial jealousy, religious intolerance. However, it's worth noting that most of the fatwas issued by the Turkish sultans, ulamas, were rejected by the Arab ulamas as heresy. In other words, whenever the Turks tried to declare holy war against the Armenians and the Assyrians and the Chaldeans, the Arabs and other Muslim groups under the Ottoman Empire tended to call BS on them, because they too were being subjects of the Turks and were not ready to have a racially charged fatwa.
Yeah.
To the Arabs, the fatwa always had to be religiously motivated, and they felt that the Turks' hatred of the Armenians was far too ethnically motivated, and so they had took no part. A lot of the Arabs, also, it's worth noting, saved a lot of Armenians in the Syrian desert. But you had things like that, religious, racial, ethnic, economic jealousy towards the mercantile class. But it's also worth noting, and I feel far too overstated in the prior genocide movies, not so much this one, thankfully, but in the other ones, far too overstated about the status of the Armenian mercantile class. It's worth noting that the rich people in the Ottoman Empire composed of most of the ethnic groups, including a large number of Turks. The Armenians just happened to be successful among that group. It's also worth noting that, like I just said, 90% of the agrarian class, that is the nearly slave labor servitude serf agrarian farmers and farm hands working for wealthy Turkish and Kurdish landlords, that's the majority of the Armenian population at this time. And that's the majority of the Armenian population that was wiped out during the genocide. The mercantile class was used as an economic jealousy or as a factor in such. Then you have a lot of German writers who have written about, German writers who also influenced the Nazis, some who were Nazis themselves, who have written about how it's been said too that Hitler has mentioned this a few times, the Turks had to do it because the Armenian birth rate was higher, and that eventually the Armenians would outscrew and outcompete the Turks.
Literally.
Literally, yeah.
And
they'd outcompete them in the marketplace, and outcompete them in the cultural thing too. There's a huge cultural jealousy that has been only written about in recent years, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that a large portion of the Ottoman intelligentsia was Armenian. It wasn't just like, when they talk about they killed all of our finest on April 24th, everybody, most Armenians know that we commemorate the 24th because that was the day they rounded up the intelligentsia of Constantinople.
Right.
The Armenians.
What was that, 233 or 244, something like that?
Right, exactly. So it was like a number of a couple hundred. And you had, what a lot of people don't talk about, though, is that, yes, this was the Armenians' best and brightest, but if you put all those guys together, they probably, even very aware of their ethnicity, wouldn't have been like, oh, yeah, we're the best and the brightest of our race. They would have been like, we're part of the Ottoman intelligentsia. I mean, they were. Oh, and there was a Turkish writer who had said after the genocide, oh my God, what have we done? We've wiped out our own culture, and that's something that shouldn't be lost on American readers because this was, you know, the Armenians in a way represent sort of the Native Americans and the African Americans in America and sort of the Jews in Europe. So it's like a mixture of all three. We were the indigenous population of what is now eastern Turkey, northern Syria, northern Iraq, northwestern Iran, and the southern Caucasus. But we were also enslaved by newcomers as well, and sent all over their constituent empires into diaspora and sent to flee into diaspora, and then also wiped out for reasons of jealousy and other economic, political, socioeconomic, religious, and racist factors. So we represent the same kind of a population that's similar to those three stories in the North American or Western European understanding, you know, just to give, you know, our non-Armenian listeners some perspective,
right.
You know, even some of our Armenian listeners some perspective, because maybe we don't think about it this way, but it is this way. We were their architects. We
right.
were their musicians. We wrote their songs and their plays. You know, I don't know how else to, it cannot be overstated. That part cannot be overstated. There's a list somewhere of Armenian composers in the what they call Ottoman classical music, which is its own specific genre. It has nothing to do with European classical music. It's a very interesting form of fusion that arose in the, what I guess you could call the Turco-Armenian world in the 18th and 19th centuries. And of a huge portion of these composers were Armenian. An overwhelming portion of them were Armenian. And
so there, basically, the influence was, I mean, all over the Ottoman Empire, being part of the Armenia. The Armenians had a lot to do with it, basically.
Yes, for certain. The same way we did with the Byzantines, and I have a planned historical thing about the Armenians and the Byzantine Empire sometime that I want to do with
them. Oh, I'd love to hear it.
It's roughly the same geography, just, you know, hundreds of years before. The Armenians filled the same types of roles, even bigger roles. Many of the emperors were Armenian in the Byzantine Empire. But in the Ottoman Empire, the Armenians did fill just about every, you know, we were considered the loyal millet, or the loyal minority. We were the minority group in the Ottoman Empire that was considered the most loyal. And unfortunately,
I got a question. I don't want to forget this. In the movie The Promise, I really don't care anymore. If you're an Armenian and you haven't seen it yet, shame on you, because you should have seen it already. So I want to throw this out there. In the movie, when that Turkish soldier gets shot because he helped his American friend, is there any truth to that?
Yeah, certainly there is.
Because if there is, that one Turkish soldier possibly could have saved the whole 3,000 people that were on that mountain and so forth. Because though, traced down from there.
Yeah, his character was what I would call a composite character, much like Christian Bale's, where, and the other main characters like Oscar Isaac and Charlotte Le Bon. I think they're based on a bunch of different people, really, a composite of a bunch of different kind of well-known people. And so that Turkish soldier, personally, I'm not sure that he personally existed. I think his father was an historical person. I'm not sure about everything with the son. I need to look that up. But the best examples of very, very similar circumstances, but to be honest with you, Jono, at a much higher level than with him, would be with the governor of Konya.
Governor, yeah.
Konya was, and they talk about Konya at the beginning of, it's the first spot that Christian Bale is going to investigate in the genocide. And Konya is not so much a part of the Armenian Highland. It's an area much further southwest of what is the traditional Armenian Highland. However, for, you know, a few thousand years, Armenians have also lived in the Konya region. It's an area where the Turks were a little bit less fanatical towards the Armenians than in other areas of the Ottoman Empire. They tended to be a lot more peaceful towards the Armenians than in other parts. And the governor of Konya refused the illicit orders from Talat Pasha and so on and so forth, said, "I will not take part in this barbarism." and he was relieved of his post and replaced by a governor who would. The same thing, I believe, happened in Diyarbakir, which is in the Armenian Highland and was one of the most hardest, one of the hardest hit areas. We Armenians tend to call the region overwhelmingly the Tigranokert region, that, you know, that area of southern central, what is now southern central historic Armenia. And in the Diyarbakir region, the governor also would not take part in the killing and denounced it and said, how can you, this is horrible. He was fired immediately and possibly exiled. I have to look that up again, but he was, he got in huge trouble, was replaced by a fanatic anti-Armenian, right, pan-Turanist Turk who killed the Armenians in horrendous ways and was proud of the fact that he personally killed a bunch of Armenians. He's the governor. So this was like, you want to know another reason, you know, for the Armenian genocide? When you tell the general populace of the majority population that the minority population is animals and that if you kill them that you can have their property and that if you kill them you get promoted. And if you kill them, you'll become rich. And if you kill them, you'll go to heaven. And if you kill them, you'll be a true Turk. And if you don't, you're not a true Turk. Yeah. The general population is going to go with all those reasons.
Yeah.
And the ones who were too pious, the Turks who were too pious to care about material things, well, that's when they use the fatwa. Use the fatwa, say, it's holy war. You have to kill these gayours. You have to kill these infidels. So they would go for that. So that way you're able to get almost every segment of the society. Then you also have to remember the police were complicit. The police did a lot of the killing. The military did a huge amount of the killing with German complicity. Prisons were emptied to do killing. Some of the Kurdish tribes were hired to do the killing. Other Kurdish tribes refused. The Kurds, to this day, feel very culpable in their partial guilt, and all the Kurdish tribes have recognized the Armenian genocide.
Yeah.
Across multiple countries. So that's important to note. There's a lot of reasons. They used to say this is in Habusi, which is the village my family is from, the Bedrosian's paternal village, the Turks were quoted as saying this is the Beylik. And the Beylik means, like, as they were, like, murdering Armenians, as they were killing them, this is the Beylik. In other words, meaning this is the way you get your promotion. You could be a private in the army, and you kill 50 Armenians.
And Jesus
now
Christ,
you're,
man.
And now you're a county governor or, yeah, a county supervisor. Like, you're not even in the army anymore. You run an entire county.
That's amazing.
Part of the genocide. So yeah, it's the Beylik just means the Bey, you know, the Bey or the Beylik is kind of like an old Turkish term for king, kind of, or leader, and it has to do with the promoting of becoming the Beylik. This is the Beylik. This is how you become Beylik. As they're killing Armenians, they're saying to each other, "This is how you're gonna get."
Do you buy into Danny that? These modern Turks say, hey, you know what, that never happened because we don't know about it. There's gotta be in your family tree something that says something about the Armenian people. Forget the damn government. I'm just talking about your family as a Turkish family. Somewhere down the line, man, you gotta wake up and smell the coffee and say, hey, my grandfather or my great-grandfather,
right,
that son of a bitch was a murderer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think that is right there, though, Jono, that taboo, if you will, is one of the reasons why denialism occurs in the Turkish mindset to this day. It's the idea of you are accusing our grandfathers of being murderers. Now, whether they are or not is immaterial to the psychological response that they may have, you know. And so you could be a Turk from Ankara, but like from, you know, Cyprus or something, and your family wasn't involved in the genocide or whatever, and you could still feel this culpable guilt and therefore be a denialist or an apologist.
I understand.
But I don't mean that's a right way of thinking.
I get it.
I'm giving you sort of a psychological bent on why they act so deeply in their denial. However, it's important to note that the denialism And this was a point I wanted to make if I hadn't made it in previous shows, if we had talked about it, I'm not sure. But genocide, the word, was coined, as many of us know, by a Polish Jew named Raphael Lemkin, who was a human rights lawyer, who had really helped develop one of the United Nations' first sort of commissions on what was later to be called human rights, and about atrocities and war crimes and things of this nature. That he coined a term, he created a term with two old words. He used the Greek prefix genos, which means people, and the Latin suffix sidius, which side in the anglicized term, which means kill or death or die, as the killing of any group of people, genocide. Anybody can watch this video anywhere where they're interviewing him. It's an old black and white video at the UN where he says, I wanted to create a word to describe what had happened to the Armenians.
So how can we deny that word?
As well as what had happened to my people, he said. And so he created the word for us.
That's amazing.
So the hilarious hypocrisy of the whole thing is for any Turk or American politician, for that matter, to say there was no Armenian genocide is like saying there was no Armenian genocide. It's like saying Armenian twice. Armenians aren't Armenian.
Armenian
genocide isn't Armenian genocide. It is the highest form of hypocrisy, probably of note in the Western world. You know?
Well, you forgot one nation right there was, I think, Israel. Amot Israel.
Israel also denies, Israel also denies the Armenian.
You know what? I have no...
It's ironic. But the reason why, all you have to know is the history of the Middle East just for the last 100 years. Forget the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years that most of these people have been living side by side. Forget that. Just the last 100 years, you have the carrying out of the Armenian genocide in the Ottoman Empire by all forms of Turkish society, from the high government officials all the way down. You have other people getting the Armenians jobs and positions, so a lot of people don't talk about it. Then you have the Armenians' right of return, or all of that is denied to them. The American mandate is turned down by a Republican Congress, much against President Woodrow Wilson's chagrin. He tried very, very hard to create the American mandate for Armenia, the same way that France did for Syria and Lebanon, and the way that Britain did for Iraq and Palestine. And they couldn't get it because the Republican Congress didn't want anything to do with the Armenians. The Turks were starting to court the Republicans in Congress, and they've been their buddies ever since. Say what you will about your views, right, left, or whatever, in America, the Turkish lobbyists have done a very good job convincing some Democrats and a lot of Republicans deny the Armenian genocide to this day. Israel is involved because Israel is America's other big ally in the Middle East, and Israel, Turkey, and the United States are together. At one point, we're together against the Soviet Union when it was Cold War era. And of course, you know, all that was left of Armenia was in the Soviet Union. So, of course, it's demonized again. And then in this post-Cold War world, Israel and Turkey and a couple other countries like Saudi Arabia have been the United States' big ally in the quote-unquote war against terror, if you will.
Right.
However, those lines are so confused, especially in American terms, that we also group in people that have nothing to do with the terrorists, like Iran or even Syria. They also become the enemies, and because they are somewhere in a bias against the countries I named before,
right,
Turkey and Israel. So it's all proxy wars. It all has to do with alliances. The denial of the genocide to this day is a very easy thing to answer to most ODARs. They're like, well, I don't get why. Well, it's because Turkey is the second biggest NATO army in the world. Guess who's the first biggest? I think we all know. And the United States relies on Turkey for its Air Force bases, which are ironically built on the graves of our ancestors. In eastern Turkey to fly their missions to Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and all these other places. So,
right.
Without sounding too political, unfortunately, the issue is...
It goes hand in hand, though, Danny.
It goes hand in hand with
really does.
With this. But again, again, the hypocrisy is they say there's no Armenian genocide when the word genocide itself was created to describe
right.
what had happened to the Armenians. And then they say, well, Christopher Hitchens, who wrote God Is Not Great, a very famous atheist writer, who was also a huge Armenian genocide supporter of the people trying to get it more recognized out there, huge enemy of the Turkish government, who recently died just a couple years ago, but he did a great series of lectures on the Armenian genocide. And he said, you know, and the Turks that he talked to, they had given these, you know, hypocrisy-filled answers. And then they would say something like, well, the Armenians represented a dangerous fifth column. They could have colluded with the Russians. And then Christopher Hitchens says, well, I thought you said you didn't do it. So what was it? You didn't do it, or they were dangerous?
Right.
Which one is it? And
depends
and
on when I'm talking to you.
And so ever since I saw his lecture, I just loved Christopher Hitchens. Just a brilliant scholar, you know, and a brave man for bringing this kind of stuff up, because even to this day, the hypocrisy fills so much of the international space that you can and can't say it in certain places, depending on who you are. It's hilarious. But then the other part of the hypocrisy is them saying that the new one I've heard is the Turks didn't do it. If we had done it, there'd be no Armenians left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a new one. I haven't heard that one.
And that's an even more damning. That's an even more damning lack of acquittal when it comes to. You know.
You're right. And
showing culpability.
I like the one that they say, well, we died, they died. It was World War One, and the what
that was
what
a
could
common
we,
one.
Yeah, that what yeah. could we have done? I mean, we're together and that's what that Erdogan or whatever his name is, he said that again. That I love the Armenians. It's a tragedy what happened, and it was World War One. Our Turkish people died. Our Armenians, Ottoman Armenians died. He makes it like it was like, I don't know, like no big deal. Forget about it.
Yes, it's the '90s was a time when they started using that rhetoric a lot. They died. A lot of them died. A lot of us died. They didn't start using that rhetoric until the 1990s. That's when that started coming in vogue in the Turkish responses. So it was. They started talking about a civil war. This hadn't been used. Prior to that period,
yeah.
They started talking about it as a civil war. It was a civil war, and the Armenians lost.
They bring up the Dashnaks too. They go, "Oh, the Dashnaks
sure.
killed so many of our people, and they came down from the mountains, and the Russian soldiers, they teamed up and they killed so many of our people." And are you kidding me? That's
you. Well, you remember what we were on our last. Segment we were talking about the Adana massacre in Cilicia,
right?
And how they had basically instigated that it was the Zaytunsis had come down from the mountains. They were coming to kill Turks, and they had
right.
to wipe out the Armenians because Zaytunsis were coming down. You know, Fedayis from Zaytun were coming down to wipe out Cilician Turks.
Oh my
and
God, that's a horror movie.
You know,
yeah,
for real. So, but again. Fake news.
But you know what?
of lies.
Yeah. The movie in general, I it got the message across. All I did was look across to see how the Odars were reacting to it, and
likewise.
And it was more or less just to see the reaction. And I think the part that broke me down was that river, seeing all
me
those
too.
Bodies at the river. Jesus Christ. And it's good that we see it as Armenians, we never forget. And like I said before, even if you got one or two drops of Armenian in you, go see it, and you, that one and two drops becomes 70% to 80% of blood in
yeah.
you again. So
it's very true, because I definitely that's also the scene that got me, that tugged at my heart the toughest. And again, being from the Volsky Dasht, being from the Golden Plain, the Tigris-Euphrates River, and how many little boys were thrown into the Euphrates and their heads dashed on the rocks and so on and so forth.
Right.
How close this was to home again, and hearing the stories from the Harpertsis and from Habusetsis, and hearing them from my aunties and my grandfather as a child, you know, another whole series of books can be written about the psychology of the genocide on genocide survivors and their descendants. There's also a psychology that exists to this day in us, you know, and it's a continued thing from the genocide. It cannot be contended with any other way. A vengeful nature, perhaps, a distrust in your government, perhaps, a fierce independence. You know, I read some statistics somewhere that Armenian Americans are like one of the largest percentage of own their own business. You know,
right.
of American people who own their own business. They don't trust. They don't trust Big Brother in any way, shape,
no,
or form in any country.
Yeah.
So it's just really a funny, you know, the dichotomy of that and the existence of the Armenian psyche. You know, Armenian parents, when they raise their kids, when do we tell our kids? When is the right time to tell our little boy, our little girl? When is the appropriate time? Armenians from different regions of Western Armenia do it different ways. You know, Peter Balakian's book, Black Dog of Fate, which was one of the first Armenian-American, you know, first-generation Armenian-American accounts of post-genocide life that was ever written. His family, they talked about how they really didn't talk about it. And his family's New Jersey Armenians from, I believe, either Van or Bitlis, and how, you know, that group of Armenians in that part of America, how they chose to tell their kids or not tell their kids or how they waited.
Well,
and
Danny,
I compare that with the Harbert season in Massachusetts, and yeah. We were like 5 and 6 when they were
telling us
in the most brutal ways too. Mug notes. I'll never forget. The night that they first told me, and my parents weren't planning on telling me yet. I was crying because my grandmother had just died, and then Auntie Magnotes, you know, the Armenian spirit, you think that's bad?
Yeah.
So she started with, you think that's bad, Donizani? I'll tell you what is bad.
You know how it was with me, Danny? It was like I'd be at the Ahrump with the old Fedayis sitting around playing cards, and they say... And I'd go over there, grab a chocolate, sit back, and of course I never played, or I was a little kid, and I'd watch them play cards, and emotionless on their face. But once they got done, they'd laugh, and then I'd ask them, "Dede, kan jeg turk mersir?" And he'd say, shad mersink ming." And I was like, you know what? That to me... From all the pictures on the walls of all the Fedayis and listening to George Tutujian in the car with my parents, that got me on board, man. That was the kicker for me. And just seeing like a bullet hole in my grandpa's leg, it was stuff like that. Now those old guys have all passed away. We gotta get our kids on board here. It's a lot tougher on us because, you know, we didn't have that one-on-one. Our parents were Armenian. Our grandparents were still around, and now it's everything that they've taught us. We gotta teach our kids and still yet be politically correct about it.
Well, we don't have to. We're still their parents.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, you don't want to scare your kid now and all this stuff. I wanted to take my kid, my 7-year-old, to this movie. My wife said, you know what, maybe it could be too much and she could have nightmares and stuff. I go, yeah, you're right. Maybe that's true. Let's hold her back. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I understand. I have a young one myself, and I have to wait.
Yeah.
A long time before I'm going to be able to tell her about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think every day about how I'm going to do that, because I think that it's a very careful thing as a parent that you have to do.
Yeah.
So there's so many interwoven subsidiary subjects when it comes to the genocide, the psyche of the psychological impact, survivors' impact, the impact of victimization, there's just so you could do a whole year of
right.
Know, of
well, I tell you what, Danny, I kind of went in a different direction. You may have to save your save everything that you have, but this was a great discussion, and you know, I love keep that on file. I can't wait to hear what you got for us for Armenian history. You said before we started that you're coming to St. Louis sometime.
Yes, yes. We'll be in St. Louis with the band that I play with, George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, on July 14th, the Ambassador Theater.
Nice. Nice. That'll be so cool. And you know what? You're more than welcome with the whole group. Come to my house, sit outside, enjoy. I got a pool. I'll get the kebabs going. You guys have a great time in my house.
Oh, thank you, brother. That means the world to me. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right, my man. We will get back with you next week, Danny. And, again, I love the new time that we're releasing this. We're releasing these shows on Monday now. And
Mondays.
Can't beat it. Can't beat it.
That's right. Looking forward to doing more.
All right, Yechbar. Keep that story what you had. We'll get it next week. And you have a great trip wherever you're playing next. Where are you playing now? This weekend?
Going to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We will talk to you, Danny. Take care.
Great. Talk to you soon, Jono.
All right. Bye. Well, that was a pretty good show. We didn't have a lot of people on here, but you know what? It was very informative.
Very, very informative show.
I loved it. And folks, again, ArmeniaProud.com. You could get on our site. On your right-hand side, you got Amazon. Click on Amazon. You could shop away. And whatever you shop on there, yeah, we get a little love back. Not that much, but it keeps the lights on here. Also, check out my past segment partner here, Ani. Ani's got her own show now. It's called Ani Vibe, V-I-B-E. And I listened to that, man. It really was relaxing. It was relaxing. I loved it a lot. And we've got Armenian Nights, of course, out in L.A. Both these shows are from L.A., actually. And you got one out there, too, Brian.
Yeah, my show is Follow the Sound.
Follow the Sound.
And actually, we do a music history show every week. But this week, even though it wasn't music-related, I did talk about the Armenian Genocide just to show solidarity.
Bravo, man.
With my friends.
Good. That's strong. I love it. And, again, people like you, people like Zach, you guys are our, you know, you guys help us carry that torch. And we can't do it alone. And we've cried out in despair to other nationalities that this happened. And we've been ignored. The doors closed in on us. But, you know, people are waking up now with a movie like The Promise. People have woken up. People have checked it out, and people are saying, you know what, this is tragic. And this is the thing about it, too, Brian. One last thing here. I mean, Kirk Kerkorian did not want to – I mean, sure, let's be honest. He didn't do this for the money.
Yeah.
He did this for this guy, Zach. He won – Zach over. Mm. To him, Kirk Kerkorian feels Zach was what I wanted people to be like and wake up and see what the hell happened.
And spread awareness.
And look what the kid's done. Look what the Zach kid's done. I mean, he's on YouTube. He just told, I just checked it out there, he's got over 1,000 people that checked out that video.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what Kirk Kerkorian wanted. All the critics that said, oh, this movie lost money. No, this movie made a lot of dreams come true.
Yeah.
So that's the game plan that we had. This we care less about topping 100 million and then showing profit on that. That would have been great, but the whole purpose behind this was to have awareness and have people like Zach sit there and tell people how he feels about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? It's a success.
Very much a success.
All right, my friends, thank you so much, Brian, for working the boards, and thank you for filling in here for Chris. Chris was out doing some advertisement work, and thank God we got guys like you to fill in, because I hate to sit in a room by myself and not just talk to myself. So thank you so much.
No problem, Jono.
All right, my friends, get nuts at Kisher Party, and we'll see you guys next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jono Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.